This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Please be seated. Every once in a while when I begin on the previous beginning of the week to look at the gospel that I'm about to preach on, I read in several translations. It was always interesting to tell my children that the Holy Bible wasn't written in English. And they're like, oh, wow, really? I'm like, no, what is the Hebrew Bible written in? And they'd go, oh, Hebrew, we get it. What is the Christian Bible written in? And they never got Greek, I have to say. The poor Greeks, you know, what can I say? But eventually, we understand that there's a lot of different translations, and one of my favorite is by Eugene Peterson, who just passed away probably about a year or two ago. It's called The Message. I'm sure you all have read it, and it's a contemporary version of the Bible, and I have to read you these because it's great. Coming down off the mountain with them, Jesus stood on a plain surrounded by disciples and was soon joined by a huge congregation from all over Judea and Jerusalem, even from the seaside towns of Tyre and Sidon. They had come both to hear him and to be cured of their diseases. Those disturbed by evil spirits were healed. Everyone was trying to touch him, so much energy surging from him, so many people healed. And then Jesus spoke. You're blessed when you've lost it all. God's kingdom is there for the finding. You're blessed when you're ravenously hungry. You're ready for the messianic meal. You're blessed when tears flow freely. Joy comes in the morning. Count yourself blessed every time someone cuts you down or throws you out. Every time someone smears or blackens your name to discredit me. What it means is that the truth is too close for comfort, and that person is uncomfortable. You can be glad when that happens. Skip like a lamb, if you'd like. For though they don't like it, I do, and all heaven applauds. And know that you are in good company. My preachers and witnesses have always been treated like this. But it's trouble ahead if you think you've made it. What you have is all you'll ever get. And it's trouble ahead if you're satisfied with yourself. Yourself will not satisfy you for long. And it's trouble ahead if you think life's all fun and games. There's suffering to be met, and you're going to meet it. There's trouble ahead when you live only for the approval of others, saying what flatters them and doing what indulges them. Popularity contests are not truth contests. Look at how many scoundrel preachers were approved by your ancestors. Your task is to be true, not popular. So similar to Moses, who brings us the Ten Commandments from God on Mount Sinai, Jesus gives us the Sermon on the Mount, and its lessons are directed at our innermost teachings. I think he shakes up the disciples and his following. It's a new way of thinking, isn't it? I think St. Joseph over the last few months has been shaken up. Do you agree? I was about to sing the Taylor Swift song, but I thought that might be inappropriate. Shake it off, right? There's a lot of shake songs, by the way, but we won't go there. So let us pray from the Book of Common Prayer. Do you like how I go from Taylor Swift to the Book of Common Prayer? The Lord be with you. Keep, O Lord, your household, the church, in your steadfast faith and love, that through your grace we may proclaim your truth with boldness. Amen. So transitions are always a challenge, and we're in the midst of change, and change often causes grief. A life gone by, and we must recognize that Jesus is teaching us to lean into the future and to hope. Over the last few months, we've made many changes as a parish. However, I remember what a good friend of mine said. Actually, she'll be leading the retreat next weekend. She said, "You don't know what you're losing. You know what you're losing. Excuse me. You do know what you're losing. You don't know what you're getting." Isn't that the truth in life? This is a difficult journey of letting go of the past and supporting each other. We have moved forward with hard work and hope. We can now prepare for our new rector. Charles Spurgeon said the following: believe in yourself. Take on your challenges. Dig deep within yourself to conquer fears. Never let anyone bring you down. You got to keep going. Trials teach us that we are. They dig up the soil and they see what we are made of. So as I was reading the Sermon on the Mount again, I tried to consider how it is so different from our society and societal norms. We're to search and live into the truth and not think about what other people think about us. And I've mentioned Mel Robbins before. She has a podcast and a book called Let Them. And her wisdom alerts us to focus on our own life and let other people do what they're going to do. She says, my point is simple. Adults will have negative opinions about you and everything you do. Let them judge. Let them react. Let them doubt you. Let them question the decisions you are making. Let them be wrong about you. Let them roll their eyes when you start posting videos online or when you want to rewrite the manuscript for the 12th time. Instead of wasting your time worrying about them, start living your life in a way that makes you proud of yourself. Let me do what I want to do with my one wild and precious life. So then it reminded me of my old life as an American literature teacher. I think it's highly, highly sad that people don't read these classics anymore. So I'm going to do a little lesson on The Scarlet Letter by Nathaniel Hawthorne. And everybody out there that had it in high school, you're going to hear it again. So maybe you did read it, and I taught it enough. It's a story, an epic story, of Hester Prynne and Arthur Dimmesdale's. It's their suffering. It's an allegory. It's an allegory about sin and its effects. And if you remember, Hester's pregnant. Her husband's been gone. They thought he was lost at sea. And nobody knows who the father is, so they're going to excoriate her and make her wear the scarlet letter, right? Society is portrayed in all of its hypocrisy and evil in this novel. And then we have Roger Chillingworth. Don't you even like his name? He's obsessed with revenge and hatred. And this emotion, this guilt that Arthur feels and this hatred that Roger feels destroys them both. Nathaniel Hawthorne works into deep themes of guilt, sin, redemption. And it's obviously a time of the romantic period of American literature. So its focus is on emotional depth and individual experience. And it addresses the moral complexities through these psychological narratives. Hawthorne emphasizes the struggle with the individual against societal norms. And I would tell you that it's valid for me to bring up these literature topics because literature that I'm quoting is universal. And these great writers are talking about things that have happened today as well. Hester has committed a sin of love. Arthur is a fraud. And Chillingworth is deranged. Hawthorne examines the torturous wrestling match between our heart and our head. Did you notice that today? They talked about that in the psalm. This struggle with our heart and our head. And, you know, time and time again in the Bible, it says, I will break your hearts of stone. So, you know, I know for a fact that Nathaniel Hawthorne read the Bible a lot, and he's getting this whole imagery of the heart and the head from that. Here's a couple of quotes from him that really hit me. I have laughed in bitterness and agony of heart at the contrast between what I seem and what I am. Have you thought about that about yourself? The contrast between what you seem and what you are. There's a gap for all of us. The other thing he said, no man, I added, or woman, for any considerable period can wear one face to himself or herself and another to the multitude without finally getting bewildered as to which is which. So which are you? Are you the face that you present to society? Or are you the face that's underneath all that? It's hard to be vulnerable and show people who we really are. Jesus covers this contradiction in the Sermon on the Mount. He uses the irony to expose the complex nature of life. We have to search for the truth, no matter how elusive it is, even the truth that we will never finish uncovering in our lifetime. There's a great movie called The Dig. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but if you haven't, you really should. It's about an archaeological dig in England. And one of the great lines in that movie is that we never get done what we get done, right? We want to get done so much in this life. We're not going to get it done. I'm not going to get it done. You're not going to get it done. But we are part of the continuum. We picked up from our ancestors, and now we're going to hand off to our children, right? You're not going to finish everything you want to finish. I'm really sorry I had to tell you that. But neither am I. We all have these ideas that's going to have, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But, you know, we make plans and God laughs, as they say. It really emphasizes how human beings are part of a larger picture of life. There's a great line from the movie. It says, "Life is very fleeting. I've learned that. It has moments you should seize." I don't know about anybody in here, but I can't believe it's February and we're almost done with February. It just goes by in a flash of an eye. And then Jesus warns us that the more we grasp at material things, the less we have a sense of what is true. Think about that one. Clarity comes from simplicity. And often we fear the truth, and so I have to quote one of my favorite lines from one of my favorite movies, and you all will say it with me. It's Jack Nicholson, who, by the way, my sister can't stand, but I think is great in movies. And he's saying it to Tom Cruise, right? We're having Sergeant Nathan Jessup say it to Daniel Caffey, so everybody can say it. Exactly. I love that scene. The truth, you can't handle the truth. And that's true. A lot of times we can't. And the truth is that we all suffer in life. Everyone suffers pain at some point in this life. Remember with the reading from the gospel, Jesus tells us that you're going to suffer. I'm sure the disciples and everybody around them was like, ooh, we didn't want to hear that. But we can't escape the reality of pain. Everybody suffers pain at some point in this life. And for the characters in the Scarlet Letter, pain is caused both by individuals and by society. And also, we deceive ourselves. We all deceive ourselves. But pain can also lead us to personal and emotional growth. It can alert us to issues that can be dealt with, treated, and healed. Together, I believe we can face the truth. And so I want to end with a poem by one of my favorite poets, who was a contemporary of Nathaniel Hawthorne's, Emily Dickinson. Her poem about truth. She's so succinct in her poetry. "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success and circuit lies. Too bright for our infirm delight. The truth's superb surprise. As lightning to the children eased with explanation kind. The truth must dazzle gradually, or every man be blind." Amen.